Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going through the scripture here, the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse, as what we do most of the time. Occasionally, we'll take a day to go off on a topic or a couple days to do something else. But today we're continuing in the Gospel according to Luke. We've got all the way to chapter 10 and verse 18. And the Messiah, speaking to many disciples. He has 70 disciples that he's just commissioned, besides the disciples he had before that. And of course, we add the 12, and I don't know how many disciples he really has here at this time, but I'm sure that it's a number exceeding 100, absolutely, and it may be several hundred at this time. People that he has commissioned to go before him into the cities and the towns throughout Israel and all the places that he was coming. And they were marveling and saying to him, "Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." And he said unto them, "I beheld," now this is the Messiah speaking, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." And of course, we have the commandments he gave them, and they had a special protection as they went out. Now, do we have that special protection? A lot of people, they read the Word, and they read the Gospels, and they try to apply this to themselves, and they go out and perhaps they might get killed or whatever, and they go, "Wow, that didn't work." You know, the words of Jesus must be wrong. Well, you know, unless you're one of these 70 people he's talking to here, and you're going throughout, you know, at that time, in context, these words are not to you. They could be, you know, if you have a special commission from him, as they had, as the people he was talking to. So this is not a blanket thing. You may be called to die for your faith, as many hundreds of thousands have been throughout history, and many of these here were called to die for their faith later on, but at this time, in the context, in the time context that this is taking place, they had this protection, okay? So all you snake handlers out there are you wondering about the snake handling and all that stuff? Well, this is what it's all about. It's not to go out there and tempt, because even Yahshua says, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." So playing with snakes to prove how spiritual you are, well, I believe that's a form of idolatry. So we continue. He says, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." Now, this treading on serpents and scorpions is a, doesn't mean that they were literally now become pest control authority. You know, it's like if you have pests, if you have some bugs in your house or your property is overwhelmed with snakes, you may call out the professionals to take care of it. No, this was not their mission. Okay. What is he telling them? He's telling them, he says it here, over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So wrong focus, you guys, you know. And you'll find a lot of people that like to focus on the gifts, the healings, the speaking in the tongues, the dancing in the aisles, and all of these different things that a lot of people get carried off into. So the Messiah is saying, "Hey, wrong focus. This ain't it. You know, this is nothing." He says, "Rejoice rather because your names are written in heaven." In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him is added. And he turned him unto his disciples, and he said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you have seen, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? And how do you read it? And how readest thou? So he asked him two questions. And he answered, said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Wow, now there's a wise man who could read the law and see this in it. And they talk about this quite often, you know, that Yahshua, Jesus said, when he was asked the question, this was the answer he gave. What is the great commandment? And Yahshua said that you shall love the Lord your God. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbors yourself. And he said, on these two hang the law and the prophets. So what he's saying is, on these two, this is what the scripture is all about. Loving God, you get that first. Then you love your neighbor yourself. You do it his way. And that's why he gave us the law and the prophets. That's why he gave us his word. The Old Testament is what they were talking about. To teach us how to love God and to love our neighbors ourselves. So here's a man, he comes right out. He gets it. See, I'm not the only one who gets it. And he didn't even need the New Testament and Yahshua telling him. But he got it. So, and a lawyer, and it says a lawyer. Well, this is not, the word here, lawyer, is not as what you think of a lawyer today. The word is, let's see, what is the word there? Let's look that up. A certain nomikos, and it says of or pertaining to the law. And so here was a man who was an expert in the Mosaic law. Here's a man who was a Bible student. He was a student of the Bible. He was into biblical studies. I guess I could be called a nomikos because I'm into it, man. You know, I'm into searching out the word. And so that's what this guy was into. He was into biblical studies. And so they use the word lawyer, nomikos, here in the, original language, someone who is into the law of God, into the word. And he stood up and he understood it. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is what this man saw in the Old Testament. This is a man with his eyes wide open. And he said, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? You know, and you shall love your neighbors yourself. And Jesus answering him said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his clothing, of his raiment, and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came a certain priest that had that way. And when he saw him, he crossed to the other side of the street, it says. In the Greek, but here the authorized King James Version says that when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, the same came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. You know, the great avoidance. Don't want to get involved. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, and you know, here he's talking about a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. Of course, the Samaritans, they were, Samaria was a town in Judea there. I would say that it was inside the border of Israel, if national Israel had a border. But the Samaritans were, well, they were pretty much mixed breeds, half-breeds, looked down upon people. And, of course, there was idolatry in Samaria. There was idolatry all throughout Israel. And we've had talked about Simon Magus, you know, how he came out of Samaria, and he was a great one there. But, you know, the Samaritans were people there. They, like I said, they were the half-breeds. They were the looked-down-upon ones. And so they were thought of as the worst of the worst, the scum of the earth in Israel. So a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. And he set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, to the innkeeper there. And he said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. So the Samaritan's journeying. You know, he's on a journey, and he's going to come back that way too. So he's saying, if it costs more, if he needs more time to recover, when I come back, I will pay it. So he asked the question now, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Now it came to pass as they went, and he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. So he sent out the 70. They went out and they prepared to the villages where he was going to come. And they received him into the house of a certain woman named Martha. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So they're meeting, you know, in a house. They're having, well, church, as you might call it. And of course, Yahshua, the Messiah, is preaching in this house, and she's sitting at his feet. But Martha was encumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And you know what? Martha should have said, yeah, you know what? All of the dishes and all the stuff will get done. Perhaps I should just sit down and listen too. And it came to pass that as he was praying for a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. Okay, well, let's notice something here. That his disciples come to him, and they say to him, teach us to pray. So shouldn't this be called the disciples' prayer? Because they're asking, you know, he probably never said it this way before, but he's teaching them how to pray. So this should be a disciples' prayer, and this should be a template for our prayer, because vain repetition is something that the scripture frowns upon. So to vainly repeat this, and you know, you have your sects out there, and even Yahshua says later on, he says, be not as the heathen, for they think in their much saying or their vain repetition that, you know, the more they say something, the more they shall be heard of God, as if God was deaf. And so you need to repeat something over and over and over, and, you know, perhaps God will forgive your sins. And there are some sects and cults that practice this. They just repeat the same words over, like a mantra, over and over again, and barely even thinking about them, and perhaps doing them as penance. Since when is, you know, I have a child, and my child comes and sits with me and talks with me, and is that penance? Is my child doing penance to me? Is that a punishment for sin that they have to sit and talk to me? And if my child, does often say the thing over, same thing over and over to me, and I say, I heard you the first time. Somehow they suppose that I'm deaf sometimes, but so this is a teaching. Teach us to pray is what they're saying. Teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So he says to them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven, or in heaven as it says here, as in heaven, so in earth. A little bit a different arrangement of the words in Luke than the other gospel. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said to them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in a journey, and has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he, from within, and shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And basically he's saying, you know, if you're persistent, you're going to get your friend out of bed so that you don't wake up the whole house. And I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of you, of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye, then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Do you want the Holy Spirit? You know, most people don't want the Holy Spirit. I'd just be plain about that. Because when you ask for the Holy Spirit, what you're asking for is the power of God to work righteousness in your life. And if you love sin, well, you may ask for the Holy Spirit. It was like the guy that Simon Magus, who saw the power of God, and he wanted to buy the power of God. He did not want the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. He did not want to work righteousness. He wanted the gift. He wanted to do great things, because he was used to wowing people, used to doing great things, as it's reported in the scripture, that he was called Simon the Magician. And, you know, he had quite a following there in Samaria, is what we surmise from scripture. So we know what he was after. He wasn't after righteousness. So many people, while they want the power of the Holy Spirit, well, the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get that power if you're not willing to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Because, as the scripture says, you know, can a bad tree bear good fruit? You've got to clean up the tree first before it can bear good fruit. So you want the Holy Spirit, you ask for it, but then you listen to the Holy Spirit. And when he starts to convict you in sin, because that's his first job in your life, is to convict you of sin. And if you don't like that, well, then you can blaspheme the Holy Spirit by not allowing him in your life and to work in your life. But our Heavenly Father says that he'll give to those that ask. But what happens when he comes into your life? Well, that's up to you. You can't say because you rejected the Holy Spirit that he did not give him to you. It's that you refused to allow the Holy Spirit to clean up your life. So try it again. You know, that's what I say. Do it. Use a little of that importunity. Go back and say, okay, let's try this again. I got the message. Let the Holy Spirit convict. And that is the power of God in our life. Remember the disciple marveled and he said, hey, we could cast out demons and devils. Yeshua says, hey, wrong focus, you know. Be glad that your names are written in heaven. That's what you're supposed to rejoice over, not the power, the outward power that you can receive acclamation for, but that your names are written in heaven. And that only happens through righteousness and you allowing the work of righteousness to be done in your life. Remember, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Because without his righteousness, you ain't gonna last in his kingdom long. Because his kingdom, like all kingdoms, have laws, and lawbreakers are removed from the kingdom. Those who will not allow the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to work in their lives. We'll be back in a few minutes.